Thank you very much. That was, of course, your president, the President Melanie Johnson, who just... Yeah. Now, what? No. Before, ladies and gentlemen... What? No, don't. Before we start... before we start the actual comedy acting, you know, what you've come to see, the sort of comedy stuff, I just wanted to say a word to you, which is, well, not serious... Exactly, but sincere. So, it's because you see, I'm not. Well, you know. No, you don't know. But I mean, no. But you'll believe me when I tell you, I'm not what you call an intellectual. I'm not. No, I'm not what you call brainy. You know, a sort of clever clogs. I'm not levels. O levels and A levels. Oh no, that. Because you're all students. So naturally, to you, I'm not what you call an academic. By no way at all could you call me an intellectual. Which is why I feel so much at home here tonight. Shut your face.
Mocking.
He's mocking Francis. You're mocking Francis. This is your Francis. Yes, my maiden name, Francis. Good Francis.
Yeah.
No, I was, I think this show got off to a bad start anyway. That's why I'm so jittery tonight, because You did die. I was sitting about a month ago. I was sitting at home, 6 weeks. I was sitting at home one night watching the telly. And the phone rang, you see, and it was my agent. And that was a shock in itself, I'll tell you. So he said to me, he said, how would you fancy a one-night stand? So I said, I'd love it. I said, a morning stand or an afternoon stand, I wouldn't care less. I said, where is this one-night stand? He said, it's the Oxford Union. Well, I mean, naturally, I thought that was a pub. I mean, well, it is. This is confession time already. I thought perhaps a theatre restaurant. You see, I didn't realise it was a chapel. And, so I got here earlier today, and I was coming through the arch, the porch across the yard there, and... But first, I saw this man. Well, the man saw me, actually, but a porter, I suppose. It's a porter. He said to me, excuse me. He said, are you Frankie Howard? I said, yes. He said, dear God, I thought you were dead. I said, no, I'm very much alive and kicking, if you know. If you know what I mean. Because you have to be quick in this business. You have to be streetwise. You have to quick, you know, quick on the uptake. Oh, yes. So I said, now look, I'll do the... I said, this man, this gent, I said, I'll do the jokes. I said, you tell me about the show. I said, now, will there be a good crowd tonight? See, this is sort of... He said, yes. So I said, well, do you think there'll be an understanding crowd? He said, yes. Well, he said, I hope so. They're expecting Ben Elton. So I said... So as quick as a flash, without a moment's hesitation, I said, oh, bugger off. No. had to be streetwise. Good, then I came across through the ports there, the vestibule there, and the next person I met was the president, this Melanie Johnson, you see, that, and she's a bossy boots, isn't she? Oh, there's a bossy boots. She said to me, what are you going to give us? So I said, us. It's a bit plural, isn't it? What do you mean? She said, I said, what do you think? She said, in this thing tonight, this, talk, what are you going to do? She said, you're not doing those old jokes, I hope, are you? She said, those corny old gags. We don't want that, you know. We want something modern, not the usual rubbish. And so I thought, oh, dear. So I said, Melanie, I said. I wouldn't dream of it. I said, I wouldn't dream of it. I thought myself, lying devil. Well, that's all I know. I mean, that's all I ever do. I mean, it's too late to rehearse a new act now, isn't it? So tonight, ladies and gentlemen, I have to throw myself. No, it's all right. Throw myself on your mercy tonight, because tonight you might find some of the gags a bit on the corny side. Oh, well, you will. But they are. But even if you think they're corny, for God's sake, try and force yourselves if you could. Good. Now, we're getting the comedy acting now. We're getting the comedy stuff now, all right? Okay? Go. Oh, no! Oh, no, Mrs. Oh, no! Oh! Oh! No, no! All right. I'll do an encore. I don't usually do encores till the end. If I get to the end. All right. No, not on your Nelly. You shut your face, you. Oh, tittying not. Oh, nay, thrice nay, and yea, dame, nay. It's coming out now, you see. It's all coming out. Coming out in a torrent now. Now, actually, I don't feel... to be honest, I don't feel much like it tonight. No, I'm usually so vivacious. Yes, people always say, that Francis is so vivacious. I mean, so... Did I catch you, David? I wish you brought your umbrella. You might need it tonight. No, I feel limp. No, don't laugh. It's wicked to mock the afflicted. I should be in bed. Oh, I should be in bed. Anyone? Get back. That was supposed to be a joke. I'm supposed to be a comedian, you know. They're all getting ready to surge forward then. Dear God, what do you think I am? Go on, you dare. Anyway, it's a shocking journey. I've had a terrible journey down. We'll see. Oh, dear. No, I'm glad you asked, because last night I was at the, up in Scotland, at this place, Dundee's, in Scotland, you know. I was doing a Sunday concert. It was very strange. I tell you why, because last night was a Monday. And I had to sort of adjust myself to see the occasion. And I got into the station this morning, I was surrounded with cases on this Dundee, and I missed the damn train. I missed this damn train, and I thought to myself, what am I going to do? I never get down there by road. So I rang up the people who runs all this telly, supposed to run it all. So I spoke to this producer, whose name escapes me. And I don't want to really capture it, I'll tell you that. So I said, and I quote, look, mush, I said, I am stuck here in, because he's an upmarket yobbo anyway. So I said, I'm stuck here in the middle of Dundee Station. I said, I'll never get down there. I should be late for the... He said, you can't be. Well, I said, I will be. I can't do the impossible. He said, you can't come late. He said, they'll all be waiting. He said, get yourself. I said, I can't do the impossible. He said, all right, don't work yourself into a frenzy. I said, I'm in a frenzy. Frenzied Francis. Now, he said, well, calm down, he said. What we'll do, he said, we're very resourceful here in London Weekend Television. I thought, I haven't noticed it. Anyway. He said, we'll lay on a little plane for you. We'll lay on a little plane. So I thought, oh, plane. So he said, make your arrangements, arrange yourself. So I went to the airport. That's where the air is. Oh, you fools! You mad fools. That's where the air is. Such whimsicality. And there was... Fuck your face. He's mocking Francis. You're so hurtful. They can be so hurtful, they want to be. So there was a plane there, wings and all, and there was this air hostess, poor soul, and she... Oh, God. She was enormous. She was huge. Every time she laughed, it took an hour for everything to settle. Everything quickened. Mind you, I like them fat. There's more to choose from. Oh, you fools! Whimsicality upon whimsicality. Will it never end? No, anyway, I got in the plane, and this air hostess came over to me. She said, is there anything I can do for you? She was no fool. She could see I was strapped in. I said, yes. I said, look, get the pilot, please, the pilot. I said, I'm due in Oxford, air eventide. So this pilot came staggering up, XRAF type, you know, jolly wacko moustache. So, yeah. He said, hello, there we are. Are we ready to sail? All ready to sail? So I said, well, yes, we are. He said, good. Have you got your passport? So I... He said, have you got your passport? Well, I said, well, my passport? We're not going abroad, surely. Well, he said, God willing, no. But of course, he said... he said, you can't turn with this wind. But he said, don't worry. I should appoint it at Oxford. I thought, God, we've got a right one here. So off we started. Off we started, zooming along the tarmac. No, this is it. This is it. After we'd zoomed along the tarmac for about an hour and a half, I thought to myself, there's something very odd about this. Because I'm not that stupid, you know. Well, don't take a vote on it. Don't take a vote on it. Mocking Francis. So, I led across to this pilot. I swear I woke him up. I said, excuse me. I said, shouldn't we be up in the air by now? He said, aren't we? He said, I thought we were. He couldn't get the damn thing up in the air. We came as far as Manchester by road. I was just getting reconciled to my doom, and this damned airplane suddenly shot up in the air. Yuck! Never so much as a may I, by your leave. Kiss me, propeller. Ah! And it was a shocking journey. Oh, shocking. My stomach went over. The spires. Spires I see everywhere. Look, colleges. And the ISIS, the Thames. I said, the one-way streets, they're all congested. That's it, Oxford. He said, yes, jump. So I said, pardon? He said, jump. I said, aren't you going to take it down? He said, look, if I take it down, he said, I should never get the damn thing up again. He said, jump, there's a parachute there, you're sitting on it. I said, this? Oh, I said, I thought this was a cushion. He said, no, it's a parachute. He said, don't be lily-livered, go on, jump. So I jumped out, he said, wait a minute. He said, you're right, it is a cushion. No. I fell. It's a terrible feeling falling, you know, love. It's just like dropping. I came... No. What? I had to laugh. No. Even in midair, I had to have a titter. Because I had a titter in midair. As I was coming down, I met another man going up. He was on the titter as well. There were two men tittering together. I said, I've just left an aeroplane. He said, I've just left a gas oven. How dare you? I fell. Do you know, I fell. I could have hurt myself. Whack, thud. But luckily, I fell on my head. That's a joke. That's a joke. Excuse me. We've got an hour of this, so try and reconcile yourself, will you? Here's some giggle pots. Giggling. Ah, there we are. You're giggling, aren't you? What's your name, sir?
Stephen.
Oh, that's right. Well, you're a good laugher, I'll tell you that. How are you? Shake hands, by the way. Where do you come from?
London.
Oh, where?
Elton.
You don't?
I do.
Well, isn't that... You can sit down there. Now, don't make it look like you're a plant, you see, otherwise. Eltham, that's why. Well, whereabouts? Oh, I know. Well, are you... how long have you been here? You're not a fresher, are you? You're a fresher? Oh, well. Yes. Are you... I've got any brothers and sisters?
Yep.
Oh, how many brothers do you have? Pardon? How many brothers?
One.
Oh. Gee, oh, excuse me, but I've got all this... I'm so sorry.
Isn't he a bore?
No. Sorry. Wallach St. Francis, I didn't mean that. I feel awful now. What's your first name?
What?
What's your first name?
Steve.
Steve, you told me, didn't you? Yes, but you said Stephen before, didn't you? Or is it Steve? Try and be consistent.
Now, Steve,
Who's that chap next to you? Is that your friend? No? Are you sure? You're very close. That's better. Yes, get a bit further apart. Leave a gap, if you would, a little bit. Don't make you look like a vent act. No. Oh, some more over here. Oh, look! The place is proliferating with them. No wonder they call it a campus. Now, oh, nay. Oh, nay, nay, Christ, nay. Oh, I'm being outrageous. No, I don't. I know. No, I know it's a university. I mean, you must... I'm sorry. How far I got? Oh, no! Well, listen, we must simmer down now, because... No, we must. No, really. I said, this is a, you know, posh too. This is a very ancient, this is historic, this place, and a lot of famous speakers have trod here and spoken here. And I was wondering, debates and things, and I was wondering tonight what I should take as a subject to talk to you about, you know. I thought about this a lot. And I thought, you know, because I wanted to do the right thing. And I didn't know, I thought there might be some dons here tonight as well. And so I thought I'll take for my subject tonight, perversions. Oh! Thank you. Listen, are there any perverts here tonight? No. You're perverts. Any perverts? Let's have a show of hands. Nothing else. Nothing else. Just hands. Oh! Yeah, why don't you two, you go and join them. Well, we'll have a chat afterwards. I mustn't really. I'm being a... Oh, nay. Nay, nay. As the horse said to the trainer as he was being mounted. I mean, the horse, not the trainer. Actually, no. Listen, you had a lot of famous speakers, as I said before. A lot of people with honorary... I can't say that word. It's an awful word. Honorary, you could say that. What's your name, sir?
Ivan.
Oh, you're not Russian, are you?
No.
Well, it's like honor. No. Honorary. That's good. Actually, I wouldn't mind honor. What is it? Honorary degree. I wouldn't mind one of those because, no, it would look good. Francis Howard. Honorary degree. The mitzvahs, Masonics, hen parties, etc. Couldn't look good in my car. I don't think... what do you have to do? I don't know. Who do you drop to have one, do you know? Well, no. I tell you, someone who won't be pushing me, the man who runs it, the gaffer. What's his name? The vice... the godfather. What's his name? Vice chancellor. Oh, no. Oh, no. What? I should say so. I've got here a week. But no, a week. About 2 hours before, and I got this a note from this gaffer, the vice chancellor, saying, "Would I pop up for a glass of sherry?" So I went upstairs to his suite, and I had to wait an hour outside, see? And finally, he emerged. I thought, this is odd. I thought, this is a bit early in the day to be wearing black leather. So he said, do come in. So I went inside. It's a cosy pad. Nice pad, I mean, if you don't mind all the whips around the wall. And, he said, I'm sorry. He said, I'm delayed. He said, I've been tied up all the morning. I thought, that figures. And I saw this photograph on his table. This woman, this exotic-looking woman, And I thought myself, how exotic woman, all in chains. All bound up in chains. This photo of us, look at you. He said, oh, you look at, He said, yes, he said, was my grandmother. During the Great War, she was a suffragette, you know. And she chained herself to the railings of Downing Street, you see, so I thought perhaps it runs in the family. Anyway, he said, so you're Howard, are you? Let's have a look at you. Oh, you're Howard, are you? He said, I must say you've gone a bit downhill since Brief Encounter. So... Lord, I didn't... No. He won't be one of my disciples. I can't see him wearing a Frankie Howard T-shirt. But no honorary degree. But you're saying to yourselves, What? An honorary degree in what? Well, perhaps not as high as that. Perhaps what? What? You must choose your own key, naturally. But you're saying, an honorary degree in what? You'll never guess. Psychology. No, honestly. Psychology. No, well, you see, in show business, you meet a lot of people, you know, a lot of strange, a lot of weirdos you meet. I mean, worse than me, I promise. I can't prove it, but I ask you. There are a lot of weirdos you meet in show business. You learn a lot about human nature, because it's a tough business, you know, because I didn't have an easy time when I first started. I used to have to fight and struggle and struggle and struggle and struggle. And I wouldn't give in, and I used to go through terrible tragedy sometimes, terrible turmoil and tragedy. Tragedy! Terrible tragedy. And I used to go into, you know, I used to get terrible despair. Terrible despair. Yes! I used to get turmoil after turmoil. Turmoil. There's a girlie crying her eyes out there. You see, you proved it. I'm doing the wrong stuff. I shouldn't be doing comedy, you know. I should be doing drama. I'm wasting my time doing comedy. Sometimes I lose the will to live, you know. But psychology. Well, Steve, I bet you couldn't guess. Now, you come from Melton. What I was going to do when I first started. Well, I was younger, eh? You can't? Well, I didn't think you could. Unless you'd seen the script, you wouldn't. I was going into the church. Yeah, really. I wanted to. I used to be a Sunday school teacher. And, you know, I was a choir boy, and I used to go to Sunday school every week. I was into it a big way, and I joined the youth club, became a youth leader. And a lot of people used to come, I say the lads and the laddesses used to come to me with their problems, you know. I was a sort of, they did. Yes, I was that sort of agony uncle Francis, oh yes. And they do, people still write, you know. I get letters from people asking, and I write back, you know, if you can help, I do. And tonight I thought, well now, some of you, it is a fresher for a start, and some of you here must have problems. And I thought, perhaps I could help you on your journey through Oxford. And so before the Ice Tedford, we got Melanie Johnson and her cohorts to issue some cards. You saw the cards, didn't you, as you came in? And people to wrote their problems out, you see. So what we'll do now, we'll collect those. Let's see. Craig McCurley, Exeter College. Is he here? Craig? Ah, there. I find myself attracted to... This is... See if I get it. I find myself attracted to older women. I'm a bit scared in case I fall in love with one. My friends might say I was a toy boy. Does it matter? No, it doesn't. Well, it doesn't. These days, it's whatever turns you on, whatever makes you happy. You get older gentlemen going out with younger girls. Why shouldn't you get older ladies going out with younger men? There's nothing wrong with that. I wouldn't mind being a toy boy. I'd like to be a toy boy. Trouble is, when you get to my age, you don't find so many openings, you know. No. But you don't. No, the spirit. The spirit is willing, but the list is short, I'm afraid. No, I must say, I know, I tell you, I did actually, no, I'm telling a lie. Actually, I did have a little dilly-dally once, you know. No, with an older woman. Because I know a lot about older women. Because my mother was one, you know. And this woman was much older than me. Oh, much older. I mean, she was... what happened was, I got her on the rebound. Well, she said it was on the rebound from an unhappy romance. A broken romance. And apparently, she got this obscene phone call from a man in a coin box. And the money ran out. And she... No. I said, no. And because she couldn't trace him. And poor woman, she was upset, you know. But she was a goer. You laugh. She was a goer. She did everything. She'd watch. She'd been everywhere. She'd done everything. Really, she'd done everything. I mean, she had, well, shorthand typing, fresh work, pension book fraud. She'd done the lot, yeah. But then my friends used to say to me, oh, she's old for you, isn't she? A bit old. I said, not compared to some buildings. That stopped them in their tracks. Oh, yes, but I'm lust. Lust. I was a sort of blank page on which she scrawled her mad shopping list of cravings. Oh, I said, I'm sorry, Mrs. No. No. I said, I'm sorry, girl, it's an early closing day today. I'm sorry. Oh, no, she wanted to marry me. It's ridiculous. She wanted to marry me. I mean, it's ridiculous. Fancy at the wedding breakfast, the bridegroom really had all the telegrams. And he gives her one from the Queen. See, Steve, when you're 100, you get a telegram. See, they're there if you dig deep enough. You have to dig. I had a friend of mine. Yeah, I had a terrible story the other day. This is true. A friend of mine in show business. Another friend in another show business had this old romance with this older woman, much older. And it was a very unhappy ending. Shocking. I felt so terrible about it because, I mean, they used to row and row and row. You see, in the end, he lost his temper one day. He said, for God's sake, woman, he said, act your age. So she did. She dropped dead. Now, you can guess, that was told to me by an alternative comedian. Because I wouldn't tell jokes like that. Oh, hypocrisy upon hypocrisy. Am I, Craig? Am I that being a toy boy? We'll be looking for a toy girl in a few years' time. Liz. Tis coffee. Is that right? Somerville. College. I suffer from shyness and lack of self-confidence. And I tend to envy people who seem to be so confident and assured here in Oxford. You seem that way too. You can stand on the stage in front of a lot of people, which I'm sure I couldn't do. How do you do it? How have you learnt to do it? Well, I'll tell you, Liz, how I've done it, or learnt to do it, because if I hadn't done it, I'd have starved. I would have starved here. No, I hadn't done this, I'd have starved, because I can't do anything else. I can't do this very well, but at least I can't do anything else. And you see, you say I looked confident. Well, I was standing outside there before I came on, and I was shaking like a leaf. I mean, I didn't know what to expect. There's more of you than there is of me, a lot more. You know, I don't mind audiences walking out. It's when they start walking towards me, I start getting... And I'm trapped here, I'm trapped. You see, I can't dive through the windows like a Cy Saloni, whatever his name is. No, listen, it's a terrible... we shouldn't laugh. It's a terrible thing. Do you know, when I was a little boy... in Eltham. I was very timid. I really was timid. I was a very shy kid. And I put it down to breastfeeding. After I was born, my mother went back to her job on the buses. And she left my father, because he was unemployed, to look after me, you see, at home. And he used to breastfeed me. You see, you won't take this seriously. Ivan, do tell them. No, it's true. What he used to do, he used to warm the bottle up, and he used to stick up his vest. And he used to have a little hole. He had a little hole made here. and stick the teeth through the hole. Because people made their own entertainment in those days. And it fooled me. For 4 weeks, I used to go around calling him Nubby. And of course, no wonder I grew up twisted. Because I did. Because, well, no, it's a terrible thing, you know. I mean, she was confessing a while ago, but when I was a little boy, I used to wet the bed a lot. I used to wet the bed a lot. No, I did. I don't want to be tasteless, but I used to wet the bed a lot. And I mean, a lot of little kids do, and children, and their babies wet the bed a lot. But I mean, not from the top of the wardrobe. You see? And of course, these kids, you see, the trouble is, if you're timid at school, you get boys, well, mostly boys, who are they bully. You don't get a lot of them, but you get a little group bullying the shy, timid ones. I mean, they were very rough there, because I remember I used to be mad keen on football, you know. I used to love football. But I never played football to the fourth year, because the first 3 years I was the football. And see, when they were playing doctors and nurses, I was the one they all sent out for the bandages. When I came back, they were all playing hopscotch, see? So I grew up to think that sex was something you did on one leg. No, you see, I tried to be behind the oven, I fell off, you know, I fell over. I didn't half hurt myself, but never again. So I became a born-again virgin. Anyway, everyone ignores me. Next. Nick Edgar, University College. Is he? Where do you come from, Nick?
Cambridge.
Cambridge? Cambridge? Wish I hadn't asked now. Night after night, continually, I suffer from erotic dreams. Do you find this odd? Yes, I do. Because most people enjoy them. No, that's what you do. No, listen. Nicholas, I'm sure it's Nicholas, I'm sure. No, you can't help your dreams, so why bother? You can't help it. You can't control your dreams. It's one thing you can't control, so if you can't beat them, join them, I think. But you can't. You get some... I dream a lot, you know. They say you can analyse them. Mate, it's nonsense. My dreams are absolutely so stupid you wouldn't believe. I mean, I think to myself, what the hell was that all about? I don't even know. If you ever get up in the morning, you have a dream, it's sort of, you feel you're still in it. It's the most strange feeling. Otherwise, what's the day? What's the day, Steve? Yeah, well, yes. That's right, it was last Thursday. This was last Thursday. And I was, well, no, see, because my memory's getting terrible these days. And the thing was, I was arguing in this dream, thundering and shouting at somebody. I couldn't tell you who it was. Some people, I was laying down the law. I was saying, I don't care what you say, Miss Marple is a transvestite. Hell, was that all about? I've been watching Inspector Morse all night. I mean, where's the connection? It's so ridiculous, isn't it? And erotic dreams. Oh, no, I mustn't. No. Hey? Oh, no, I'm not going to. My aunt used to say to me, I had an aunt in York, and she used to say to me, gather ye rosebuds while ye may. Gather ye rosebuds, which is an old poem. While ye may, gather ye rosebuds while ye may, which means be happy while you can. So you must do that. You must be happy while you can, because you know you are the future, and the hope of the future, and the spirit of the future, and you are the inspiration and the leaders of the future. And if you get ambition, you go ahead and do it. You know, do have a good go. Don't be like me. Have a good go. Do what you want. Don't end up a shambles like I am. Have a go. Because and I think now I could have been in the church. If I had it done, I don't know. I mean, I could have been a vicar, perhaps, I suppose, somewhere, or I could have been a country vicar. I don't know. I could have been the chaplain to the university, couldn't I? I might even ended up Archbishop of Canterbury. But look at me, I'm still here going, oh, nay, nay,
this is it, not on your nelly. I mean,
a grown man is ridiculous, isn't it? I often wonder what would have happened if I'd gone to the church. I wonder how I would have ended up if I'd gone to be, well, I don't know, in the church. I wonder.
I trust that this is a leftover from last week's Harvest Festival. And not placed here with the idea of seeing me go surplus over cassock into the font.
Nevertheless, dearly beloved,
this skin, this discarded outer covering, is rather symbolic with regards to today's service, which, as you all know, is a service of thanksgiving for the first anniversary of our local nudist colony. And here in our village of much rutting in the world.
And I'm very pleased
to welcome all 40 members of the nudist colony here today, thus swelling the congregation, so to speak. Brethren, welcome. And I do hope the verger has made a good job of sandpapering the pews. We all know how painful a piece of pine up the spine can be. Now, we are very pleased to see you all here tonight. I'm very gratified also to see such a large congregation here. Particularly when one remembers that our usual gate is 36. But the county police, unfortunately, have limited today's attendance to 1,500 people. Our first capacity crowd of the season. Well done, well done. Of course, we had hoped to make this an all-ticket affair. All-ticket affair, tickets only. But the bishop did not like the idea of ticket touts cluttering up the graveyard. And incidentally, the bishop has asked me to apologize for his late arrival. Unfortunately, he's been held up in the traffic jams round the church. But he hopes to get here in time for the laying on of hands.
Now, it isn't, dear beloved, it is no secret
that this service, I've been criticized for it. I've been criticized in many quarters for holding this controversial service in my church.
I have been vilified and pillified from evensong to breakfast time.
Obscene notes have been thrust through my letterbox. Indeed, other things have been thrust through my letterbox. Even the front wall of the vicarage has been completely daubed with slogans. Completely. Thus, making it impossible to see the latest one, which is particularly regrettable, because you can't see the word Gomorrah unless you nip round the back. And now, I want you to join with me. Turn to page 31 of Health and Efficiency, of
Hymns Ancient and Modern. And let us all rise and sing hymn 84. Nor shall my sword sleep in my hand. on it, accompanied by Mr. Pearson on the organ, whose eyes at the moment currently resemble the organ stops on his instrument. Now, in Roman forms for the sunny side up, nudist colony can be obtained in the porch next to the photographs of the brass rubbings. And the enrollment fee is £100 per annum plus £70 VAT. Vicar's added tax. And now, brethren, my blessings on you all, and God go with you. Brethren, was the quickest change in the business. Now, I'm going to say this. Anybody here got any ideas about show business? Anybody here wants to go to any budding actors here? Oh. Comedy or what, you know, sort of comedian? Pardon? Oh, join me. No, I did. What do your parents say? Anyone, when you've mentioned it to them, do they say, go on, go ahead, or don't do it? They say, go on, do it. Oh, that's unusual, because most people, they don't. My mother used to worry about me going to show business, because it's a very insecure profession. You know that, don't you, what you're letting yourself in for? I personally went through, I've had ups and downs, but I went through a terrible period in the 60s. I mean, the 1960s. And I had this, you know, couldn't get any work, and so I got a job in the Marriage Guidance Council. Yeah. Why? I don't know. But I do know, I suppose I got this idea, this psychology, you know, an agony uncle, you know, that business. And so I lasted a week, and I thought, that's it. It got me down. I had nightmares. All these dramas, worse than any soap opera, don't do it. Oh, it's terrible. Steve, what's today? That's right. It was on the Tuesday morning. And it's funny, you're psychic. Very funny, you're psychic. And I was having about 11 o'clock in the morning, I was having a cup of coffee, you see. And all of a sudden, the door burst open, and this woman came in. This bitch, and she was bawling and shouting. She said, oh, I said, excuse me, I'm having a cup of coffee. Just slashing it. I said, whatever's the matter? She said, I said, you're incoherent. I said, look, calm down. She said, I know you're in the state. I said, what's happened? She said, I'm going to leave him. I'm going to leave him. So I said, well, leave who? She said, my husband. That's who. So I said, now, listen, come, tell me, what's the, why? First of all, when were you married? She says, yesterday. So I said, yesterday? God help us. I said, what happened then? She said, well, after last night, she said, I mean, it was awful. She said, I went upstairs to the bedroom for the honeymoon. And she said, I looked very nice. I had this see-through negligee. I had my hair done. And she had lipstick. And she said, I really look nice. And we went upstairs to the bedroom. And I said to him, darling, what would you like me to do for you? He said, I'd like a bath. She said, I beg your pardon. He said, I'd like a bath. She said, I'd like... Well, bath, yes. Well, if you'll kindly step this way. So she took him in the bathroom, you see, filled the bath water. And so she said, he got up and was soaking. So she said, now, dear, what would you like me to do for you now? He said, I'd like a storm. She said, a storm? He said, yes, lash the waves up with your hand. Lash, come on. Come on, put your back. Come on, girl, put your back in. Lash, come on. Now, thunder, kick the bath. Thunder, kick the bath. Go on, that's right. Thunder, thunder. Now, that's like lightning, electricity. Lightning, so she's kicking it. The lash. She said, wait a minute. She said, I'm going mad. And she said, look, we're married now, dear. Wouldn't you like something else? Like sex? Is it in this weather? You must be out. But anyway, you've been a marvellous audience. I want to leave you with the words. I want to leave you with some famous words. The famous words of Cleopatra to Mark Antony. If you've enjoyed it, tell your friends. So thank you very much. Up, students. Up, all students everywhere. Up the students. Thank you. Please yourselves.